Hey guys, welcome back to the New Hustlers Podcast, a spot dedicated to the higher levels of personal development. I'm your host, Jaden Vu.
Now, being a coach to people has reminded me how much pain and suffering there is out there in the world, and it breaks my heart to see others go through it. So I want to leave you with this message in hopes of saving you or influence you to do better.
So before I dive right into this episode, I want to address my super long absence in the podcast community, because if you've been a long time listener, you'll probably realize it's been more than about a year since my last episode. And to be honest, guys, I gave up on it. Why? Because I was in it for all the wrong reasons. I lost the drive, the purpose, I had no heart and love to actually invest my time to sit down, think about what to say, and speak into a microphone. When I first started the podcast, it was to motivate others and empower them. But honestly, in the past year, I couldn't even seem to motivate myself to do anything meaningful. So that's why I stopped. And it takes a lot of fucking courage to admit that, because a lot of people who go through similar things to sweep this under the fucking rug and tell themselves that it's okay. Now, with a clear mind and heart, I'm starting this back up again because I have a belief. And that belief is through my podcast, just one person will use this experience to push through all that bullshit and actually make something of their life. Of course, there's probably hundreds, if not tens of thousands of podcasts out there that motivates, inspires, and guides people to be the best versions of themselves. And chances are, those podcasts are probably 100% better than mine. But the truth of the matter is that there's billions and billions, about 7.3 billion of people out there in the world that are struggling every single day, and not everyone will connect with certain individuals. It's like trying to make friends. You're not going to be friends with everyone you meet because you're just different and unique. So through interactions and personality traits, you find a selective few you can actually hold a conversation with. And if you actually develop a meaningful relationship, you actually want to cherish them. Now, I do want to warn you, what I am about to say is going to be brutal honesty, real, and aggressive. So if you're ready for that, then you might actually be able to make a huge difference in your life moving forward. But if you're not ready for the bluntness, I suggest pausing it and thinking twice before continuing. Basically, I'm going to address that it's time for you to stop being the fucking snowflake you are. So if you haven't guessed the title for this episode already, I'll be talking about what the fuck to do when you've hit rock bottom. Now, if you're new to this podcast, welcome to taking a major step to furthering your own personal development. My goal for this is not to ask you buy a bunch of shit and sell you what I can do for you. And if you buy these programs I made, that you get further in life. I personally fucking hate listening to podcasts where 35% of it is just buy this, buy that. Honestly, I just turn that shit off and unsubscribe. And if you feel the same way, I promise you, you won't be getting any of that here. However, if you want to reach out to me to further your own personal development, I'm not going to stop you. But I'm here to talk my piece and give you some advice. I do ask of you for one thing only. And if you find value from my podcast, and if only you do, share this with someone that's special to you, someone that can hugely benefit from this, or someone that's just struggling in life and just needs someone to relate to. That's all I ask of you. All right, so let's cut to the chase. So the real reason why I've stopped podcasting entirely was because in the last 365 fucking days, I've managed to hit rock bottom, not once, but many times over. When you've been fucked so many times over, it's real hard to get motivated to do anything, if you know what I mean. I was at a point where I was more satisfied crawling into my bed and dreaming of a better life than to face the problems head on and actually trying to solve the issues. Now, it's not the first time I've hit a rock bottom, like I was saying earlier. Not once, not twice, but three fucking times in a big, big major way that I've been in the position that I'm currently facing right now. So the first time was simply because I was a dumb fucking teenager. You know, typical. The second was because I didn't know how to control my stupid gambling habits. Yes, I used to be a gambling degenerate to a point where I was borrowing money left, right, and center. So right now, for the third time, hitting rock bottom again. It sucks because it was by betrayal and manipulation by people that are close to me. It has now put me in a disgusting amount of financial debt. I'm still trying to figure out how the fuck I'm going to get out of it. This is what I ask myself every single day. What the fuck do I do when you've been betrayed by those you trusted? When not even my own family wants to help me out? Or how am I going to fucking pay rent being a week overdue and that I have to sell whatever I can of value and own, you know, sell it to the reseller or pawn shop just to survive because my fucking credit cards are maxed out, and to top all of this, owing dozens of people money. If you're listening, what would you do? You see, my first thought was to jump off a bridge or run my car into the wall. I haven't felt like this since my years of depression and severe suicidal thoughts, in which I've opened up about in episode 5. So if you suffer from depression or have at least tried to end your own life, there's a great chance that my episode on topic can at least relate to you and give you some kind of hope that everything will be okay. I want to touch base on the word, hope. It's the single most powerful word for any individual that's going through a tough time. When there's nothing going on, your world is crashing down on you, and you want to just end your life because it's better than go through another day, another week, another month, or even another year of this hellhole. Hope is what can save your life because it gives you a tiny window of optimism. That optimism, that tiny taste of a better ending and a silver lining to all this bullshit piling on. So whenever and wherever you're able to find that tiny window or taste of hope, stick to it and keep growing with it, because I can fucking guarantee you, having gone through this multiple times in life, it will help you dig yourself out of the mess you're in mentally and emotionally. Because when you're at rock bottom, all you have going on is how you react mentally and emotionally, which determines where you're headed. Now, I would think, having gone through this twice before, I'd know what to do, but that's far from the truth. You see, it's not about making the money back, because I have the skills necessary to do so. Like many successful people will tell you time and time again, take everything away from me and I'll still come back better than ever. That addresses the years of experience and skills developed to get them there in the first place, and you can't rob someone of that. It's a part of them. So what I'm talking about is more of the emotional and mental side of it. Like right now, I'm completely emotionally fucked and mentally blocked, 100%, if not 200. My mood the past few months has been like Edward Norton in Fight Club. If you ever watch a movie, the dude's always walking around like he's half asleep, half awake, and no idea what the fuck is even real or if he's really alive. And I feel exactly like that. Worst of all, I thought I could hide all this by pretending that it'd go away, by lying to myself and being Mr. Fucking Positive on social media 24/7. And if you follow me on Instagram, chances are you watch my stories, see nothing but fake fun and fake hustle and all this fake bullshit on the topic of social media and Instagram. And I've decided to disconnect from all that, completely shut that bullshit out and just focus on myself. And I've been doing that for a month now. And if you're wondering why I haven't surfaced, this is why. Honestly, the reason, because not just outside of just struggling, I just got tired of being a fake idiot going back on it with really nothing to say, and I didn't feel truly genuine to do so. So the podcast now, moving forward, is going to be a better vehicle for me to address everything in the possible and most genuine way of how I feel and how I honestly feel like people should be able to kind of express themselves. So here's me being super honest with my social media portfolio and history, because I'm pretty sure a lot of you guys got, you know, concerns about that. If you've been following me, then you know my page is a mixture of fun, lifestyle, motivation, and entrepreneurship. While I was keeping up with this pre-planned theme of content, I was truly and deeply suffering internally. I was spending money I didn't really have to do to things I shouldn't have been doing. I was trying to please people whom I've never met or really deserved my attention just so I can stay popular. I was faking this dumb fucking stupid lifestyle to be perceived as a huge success to make myself feel great and a boss to my followers. But the fucking truth is, it's all far from that. All my business at the time were suffering and I didn't fucking care. I was being ignorant and delusional. I was buying $1,000 jackets, eating at 3 Michelin fucking restaurants. If you don't know what that is, it's the most expensive restaurant that's highly acclaimed by the people around the world and critics. And I was splurging on brand name shoes when one of my businesses was losing clients like a fucking waterfall. And I was spending like a fucking waterfall. I was flying business class round trip to Italy and Japan when I could have used that money to help invest into digital advertising for my business so it can help acquire new customers. How fucking selfish was I? But more importantly, can I be more fucking stupid moving forward? This brings me to my next point, and yes, I'm going off on a tangent here, but it needs to be said, and everything I'm going on about would actually save you hundreds, if not tens of thousands of dollars, because you actually open up your fucking eyes and realize you're doing what I'm doing and it needs to stop right fucking now. So I'm going to offend tons of people and accumulate some haters right now with what I'm about to say. And the sad thing is, if you use Instagram and you're hyper concerned with your shitty following count and those god-awful engagement levels, this is for you. So listen up. you've probably came across ads or even some people you follow claiming they can help you get that following count up and raise those engagement levels. But here's the thing, words of caution. Don't fall for that bullshit. Chances are they're fucking lying to you and want to squeeze you for a few hundred dollars because they're morally fucked. And I know so many people that has gone down this route to spend tens of thousands of dollars to literally be chasing these people and actually going through legal recourse to claim that money back. So I want to address those that honestly did build a super organic account and do honestly want to provide real insight of how to grow an engaging profile. I 100% respect that and support that, because it's coming from a place of honesty. But if you're one of those people that bought all your followers and want to make money back from however much you've spent to raise your Instagram account, go fuck yourself. And stop preying on the real working people who doesn't need to be a part of another dumb fucking scam. You listening right now, don't believe a fucking word or shit you see on people's Instagram story of how awesome their life is, how often they get to travel, and how easy it is to make money. Because 90% of the time, when the camera is off, they're fucking nothing and still living with their parents, saving up a bunch of money to put on some amusing bullshit story to have you buy into the shit and donate to their I Will Get Rich Soon fund. Sadly, like I said earlier, I know many people, some even close to me, some not, still doing this and ripping people off, and also the people that I know that are getting ripped off by those people. And it's just a sad, sad sight to see. And here's a funny thing. Some of them are subscribed to me. So if you're listening, you know who the fuck you are, and I want you to unsubscribe and really look at yourself morally and ethically and ask yourself, are you actually being honest with what you're trying to sell? Because I can guarantee you, you're fucking not, and you know who you are. And I have zero respect for you. I'm only saying this because for a period of my presence on social media, I was doing just this to a certain extent. Now, I do want to point out that whatever it was I was selling to my past clients and current mentees and past mentees, I generally did have the knowledge to provide the level of insight to match the investment of the service or product. But I was guiltier more on the Instagram story facade. I was a broke fuck pretending to be a rich fuck. I had $0 to my name. Everything was tied up with my businesses and assets I swore an oath to never touch. I was using money I didn't have and money I made on odd jobs in between my downtime during the lesser involvement periods of my businesses just to spend for fun. All things considered, looking back, my biggest fucking problem was not to invest more time into growing the business bigger and bigger to reap the big benefits of a higher cash flow. I got greedy, cocky, and I gave it all up just so I can have more freedom. But I didn't deserve it. Listen, if you're still listening, and if I'm starting to really offend you, and this is hurting your feelings, just stop listening. I don't really need you to listen. You can unsubscribe, and if you follow me on Instagram, unfollow me. Because I really don't need people like you in my life who can't really face the truth. Because I'm honestly not in this to create this kind of podcast, or to really speak my mind and provide you any significant value if I care whether or not I've hurt your feelings. So being aligned with my purpose in life to actually and genuinely help people, I'm just so sick and fed up with these fucking unethically, morally fucked individuals using your social media as a gateway to prey on others just to have their dreams and hopes fucked right under them with these pretender millionaires that pop up everywhere. Fucking it's just like a new millionaire every two seconds selling these too good to be true programs to just dish out worthless regurgitated materials. That's not even the sad part. What fucking scares me is you've been a victim to this in the past because you bought into their social media feed. Yes, I'm talking to you. You're listening, especially on Instagram, that everything posted you fucking bought is basically a lifestyle they built to lie to you and make it look like they're actually successful. Smoke and mirrors, man. It's all fucking smoke and mirrors. So when you see them advertising about this sick fucking new program they're launching to teach you how to make money on Instagram, or how to go from 0 to 100,000 followers, or how to build an Instagram influence without any effort, whatever it is, you bought into it to literally later figure out you fucking wasted your whole entire money. The best part, they don't give a shit about you. They make you feel like they do, but they don't. I'm saying all of this because I've been a victim myself too. This year, I got hooked into e-commerce. And was only hooked in because I was made to believe how easy it was to get going and how sales would just come in lightning speed. But the truth is, I went 2 months without making a single fucking sale, or maybe two or three, but that's still nothing. And I was running ads and the ads kept piling up and piling up and piling up. And I was just kept telling to go on and go on and go on. It's going to work itself out. You just need time. I bought into that shit to completely just spend money to not get any money back, and I built more of a financial debt for myself. How fucked up is that? So I'm going to end it off with this kind of topic here and saying the truth is, just because their social media profile is showing a Lamborghini and them sitting on the fucking car, chances are it's probably fucking rented or someone they know that has one and now they're trying to pawn it off as they made it in life. Or maybe better yet, there's a sweet ass photo of some kid with his buddies hitting up a private charter plane when in reality, they're not even going on it, but just posting for the fucking gram, everything for the fucking gram. You're probably guilty of this shit yourself. But here's the thing. The sad part is not even that. The sad part is the millions amount of fuckers out there willing to go the extreme lengths for a fucking picture to just have those bots who actually raise your account. Understand this. If it's not made blatantly obvious, you're just renting platform space. At any point, they can remove you, eliminate you, and make you disappear. You know, the saddest thing I've watched in the past couple of months was this girl crying over an Instagram account that has maybe 20,000 followers. They shut down, and she was posting that shit up. And if you want to go watch it, just go Google Girl Cries Over Instagram account because this is the majority of you. So going back into it, you can see how much bottle of disgust I've held out on. And the only reason I'm opening up about this and giving zero fucks about what someone might think about this episode is because I've seen so many people, so many get suckered into this through friends and family. And it just breaks my heart. You see, here's the thing. One of my friends, who I'm not going to share the name of, has built a business from scratch and been going at it for 11 years and still fucking struggling every single day trying to figure out how to pay rent and how to pay the overhead and still being fucked over by people like this. Not because this individual doesn't know any better, but this person is business savvy. It's because of what I was talking about. The fucking cockroaches out there who invest their time to build up some kind of fake social credibility to gain the consumer's trust. Get the money and just fuck, because the number hitting the bank account was more important than actually helping another human being. Honestly, those people are a plague to society, a fucking disease, because they're selling to the world that is super easy to be making money by sitting at home in front of a fucking laptop, eating fucking Cheetos and working only 2 hours a day and adding salt to injury. One thing I want to share and be super honest about is that in the past, I myself have bought followers to grow my social media platforms, mainly Instagram. Yeah. That's right. I bought followers in past and my growth on social media is not 100% organic. And I feel like fucking shit looking back and recounting all the times I've told people that I was 100% organic. Now, in all fairness, I did grow my social following to a certain point before buying followers, but I still bought it. Super guilty. And I'm bringing this up because I can fucking spot out the fucking liars who's trying to sell their fake ass how I grew my Instagram from whatever to whatever in 30 days bullshit program or webinar. So, but all things considered, I'm going to stop here and get down to the core of this episode. So you're wondering, you finally fucked up and landed at rock bottom and all you want to do is give up and there's a slight chance ending your life is a viable option. Now, I've been there. I've said 3 fucking times now and while I'm doing this episode, I'm still feeling like so. And the only reason I'm not already looking down a bridge is because I forced myself into believing I can be a voice to those that want to give up every day. So here's the truth. I'm not going to tell you what to do and that you shouldn't give up, that there's more to life and that you're worth it and to keep going, to keep your chin held up high. That's what your friends and family are for, and I'm not it. So whatever I have to say, and if you're still listening, only you can decide for yourself of how to embody and act on the materials presented to you. So if there's one thing I know, is that you can't fucking change someone who doesn't want to be changed. So if I focus on trying to change you, I'd be old and gray by the fucking time that even happens because people need to be told something 100 fucking times before they realize they should have done it in the first time. But the thing is, we're wired to not believe in things right away. We're born as skeptical motherfuckers, and I don't know why. It's probably because of all the scams in the media out there. But the truth is, it's just so hard to convince someone to change, even though they tell you they want to change. And I'm one of them. And with all the people I've mentored, it takes a lot of fucking grit to actually persevere and not give up on these people I've coached in the past. But I'm really committed to those people who know and resonate with what I have to say just to tell themselves, yeah, he's fucking right. And I'm making the changes today, not tomorrow. So here are my 2 cents to when you've reached rock bottom. Chances are you've came across this saying, well, at least there's nowhere to go from here but up. You know what? Fuck that. That's some pussy-ass shit you keep yourself optimistic with when your focus right now isn't to be fucking optimistic, it's to be a realist. What do I mean by that? Let me entertain you. I'll give you 2 different scenarios. We have two individuals who have just hit their lowest point in life and see no way out, and giving up is all they can think about. For person A, we'll refer to her as Happy Helen. And person B, let's call him Real Randy. So Happy Helen is locked up in her room bawling her eyes out and has been for the last three fucking days. She's ignoring all her calls and lives with a roommate who's been also being ignored by her. So she's now on her third box of tissues and filling her face with ice cream and Cheetos. And on the fourth day, she finally miraculously decides to come to terms with the situation. And her roommate finally sees her. Her roommate is also her best friend from elementary school, someone she trusts her life with. Her roommate doesn't say anything to Happy Helen, but just hugs her real hard, and they both settle into the closure. After they pull away from each other, roommate tells Happy Helen to cheer up and that they both should go out to kill some steam. So they get going on a girls' night and go to one of their favorite bar joints. Joined by Happy Helen's closest friends, they forgive her for ignoring the hundreds and hundreds of calls and text messages left on her phone that was put on airplane mode. So after a few drinks, shit gets real heartwarming, and soon enough, a barrage of loving and caring words fills up Helen's heart. Soon after, all the trusted advisors around that table has laid out their awesome plan to bounce back, that everything will be okay, and that it wasn't her fault, and it was out of her control, and there's more to life than just what happened. Helen, Happy Helen, is now living up to her name and had forgotten what just happened 4 nights ago. What had happened was that she had to close down her business she's invested only 2 years of her heart and soul into to go nowhere with this huge pile of debt. You know what she does? The next day, she just sweeps it everything under the rug. With the help of her trusted advisors, she decides to go land a decent job with less responsibilities and now prefers to play it safe because entrepreneurship just wasn't for Happy Helen. So she starts to find bliss now behind clocking in that 9-to-5, and this will continue for a few decades until Happy Helen is old enough to retire and have a great story to tell her kids and her grandkids how hard it was to be an entrepreneur, and life is more enjoyable when you don't have to constantly hold majority of the responsibilities of delegating workload. That's scenario one. Here's Real Randy. Randy just crashed and burned, and he's at the bottom of the hole. His self-esteem's destroyed, and he is super, super demoralized, and he has no will to keep moving forward. All he can see and smell is that shit that is starting to build on itself. Real Randy is not super happy, and really, all he wants to do, if he has an opportunity, is to jump off the fucking bridge. Real Randy understands that no one can bail him out, and he doesn't need to be filled with cute, cuddly words. Everything becomes a giant mental game because after a few days of complaining and being a super bitch, Real Randy realizes he's on board a rope and that he's one split decision away from deciding his whole fate. He's got a 50-50 deciding factor of where his life will end up, how he chooses to carry out his purpose, and if he will become worthless or not in life. So deciding on which way to go, he calms himself down for a few seconds to think logically and not emotionally. Real Randy realizes that what had happened could have been seen from miles away, that he was in control of the turnouts, that it didn't happen to him, but because of him. And let me fucking say that again if you didn't catch that. It didn't happen to him, it happened because of him. And that's what a lot of people don't understand. I'm gonna take a pause here in that story. Nothing in your fucking life ever happens to you. It happens because of you. So if all you do is point blame and point fingers and really just say this happened because of this and this and this, then you're a fucking snowflake and this episode is literally calling you out. So back into it. Somewhere along the way, he turned up short and made horrible decisions. Now he wants to assess the situation to get a feel of exactly what it boiled down to. Real Randy doesn't need comfort or people to tell him it's okay. Real Randy only needs himself to tell himself that he's being a mega bitch and that there's a fucking hundreds of people out there who's super successful and have been down the exact same fucking road he has. He doesn't need stupid ass reassurance from people to go like, don't worry, it's okay, everything be okay. He let facts be his guiding light. So what does the guy do? He gets fucking real, picks himself back the fuck up, watches Rocky a few times, and take all the skills and experiences he has accumulated over the years, goes back out there in the world again to make his comeback, because he knows failure is what all the best and successful people out there that you've come across needs to get going. So real Randy is now equipped with the knowledge of what not to do and how to do things better and faster. Real Randy fucking understands that life ain't all sunshine and rainbows, because he's watched Rocky so many fucking times that he can recite the whole damn fucking movie. He sees himself at the top throwing his fists in the air and how he's made a real comeback. So let me ask you, who do you want to be? Happy Helen or real Randy? If there's even a sliver of a chance you've thought about being Happy Helen, then go fucking eat your Cheetos and watch your Netflix series. Day after day, you miserable fucking mediocre life is for you, and there's nothing to stop your train wreck. Why? Because people are always going to be who they are. Nothing can change that. You can only influence, but if they're not willing to be influenced to actually change, they're not going to fucking change. But here's the thing. Change becomes impossible unless they completely rewire their entire habitual history to commit to this deeply because of something life-changing. My switch and my moment that I decided to make a change in life. Because I was saying earlier, I was going through depression for 7 years and all I thought about was killing myself. And what maybe made that switch, that traumatic moment that allowed me to rewire my thinking and my emotions, was that I saw that if I was the one dealing with depression, severe depression, that there's probably hundreds, if not thousands and millions of people out there, even close to a billion, that's going through the same thing. And if I was able to guide myself through 7 years of this bullshit, this was knowledge that I needed to give to the world, because you hear so many stories of people who just go through depression for a year, 2 years, 3 years through a breakup, divorce, being cheated on, or lost their business, or filed for bankruptcy, whatever the case would be. They end up killing themselves. And I was able to go through this 7 years. I had parents who disowned me and I had no friends. I had people who manipulate me, and I was going through all of this from the ages of 14 to 20. I didn't have a family growing up. So when you go through all of that, it just makes no sense why you would continue, rather just end your life. And I wasn't the smartest of the bunch. I had nothing going for me. I dropped out of high school. So you see here, 90% of the people in this world is Happy Helen. And I want to state that if you want to be Happy Helen, and that's truly what makes you happy, and that's happiness to you, and you're content with that, then I'll be super honest. I respect that. I have people I know who embodies that lifestyle and work a mediocre job making $40,000, $50,000, $60,000 a year, and I don't judge them. I don't. I'm more looking at those that just expect to get into something, work for a bit, and when it doesn't go right, they give up. It's just like, why do you start something and just give up? Like, that makes no sense to me. Why bother getting into it at all? It's just like going through life without actually knowing what your worth is. And I mean, how many times have you heard of businesses being an uber success in its early years? I mean, unless you're a fucking unicorn of a company or individual, then yeah. But not everyone is Mark Zuckerberg, Elon Musk, Steve Jobs, Oprah Winfrey, or whatever it is, those talented people. But if you're a regular, ordinary dude or gal, and you want to start a business, and after it doesn't go right, and there's some resistance, and you want to give up, then what the fuck are you even doing to get in business in the first place, okay? Because entrepreneurship, as cool it is, as it is, now it's been plagued as, you know, it's like a job, bro. And it brings me up to another point. I fucking hated people on social media who just uses their job position or job role or their profile setting and listed as entrepreneur when they haven't fucking sold a thing in their goddamn fucking life or actually built a business. Those are the fucking people that drives me insane, because they're not real entrepreneurs. They're wantrepreneurs. They just want to sound cool and look cool. So here's the thing. Entrepreneurship is not for everyone, because people do not calculate the amount of grit and perseverance and emotional stress that it takes to go along with it. People just expect to go in it, to kill it, and make tons of money. But here's the thing. I was not born as an entrepreneur. I was an accidental entrepreneur, because before all this entrepreneurship that I got into and this whole hustle, I became a dishwasher, worked my way up as cook, then a sous chef, and then chef, and then I found myself in sales. And because of sales, I realized that it was not about selling something to a person, but I was helping someone. And through that love of helping people, I decided to actually create a company to solve problems. And a lot of people, 90%, would give in to the struggles and move on. And that's why there's only the top 10% out there in the world that are truly successful, because they let the struggles power them to do better. And I truly believe in there's beauty in the struggles. Because without them, there's no grit. And without grit, you're not going to get very far in life. Just like going to the gym, right? If it hurts and you don't like the pain and you give up, you're not going to grow those muscles. If you're going to let rejection hold you back from asking out that guy or girl, you're not going to ever get that guy or girl, and you're going to settle for less. And that's one topic. Now I'm going to talk about another point where a lot of people who are meant to be with better people settle for less because they just don't have the conviction, drive, and actually perseverance to go after someone. The problem is people are what I call success zombies or informational zombies, where they hear so many stories and so many articles and read so many blogs or just see so many motivational quotes or watch so many motivational videos, but they don't fucking do fuck all with it. It's just like a high for them. It's just like you take ecstasy. It's probably good. I've never taken it myself. I don't know how that feels, but you just take it. You feel good for a while. And after you wake up, you feel like shit. It's the same thing with people who are trying to really just absorb as much motivational content as possible. They just absorb to feel good. And after a while, it's just like nothing. They go back to the ordinary fucking mediocre life. And I honestly don't know. So I want to point this out. If you know you're capable of so much more, but you're deciding to rot yourself away under someone else's roof and payroll because you're scared of your first failed venture, and this is going back to those people who want to be happy Helen for the sake of not being content with being happy Helen, but because they failed at something and now they're turning from real Randy to happy Helen. If it's because of that, your first failed venture, it's disgusting to witness, because if you were truly weren't good enough, you wouldn't even dare to go past the first year. Why would you even go through the first 5-6 months, right? No one in their right mind would struggle for so many months if they didn't have a higher belief or a higher potential to actually get somewhere. And that's what boggles my mind. Why someone would spend 5 years to grow a company, or someone would spend 2 years to do something that they believed in and then give up because it wasn't making any money. And here's the thing about money, something I learned at a very young age. Money will never lead. Money will always follow. So if you're doing something for the money, you're not going to get very far in life, because at the end of the day, if you're struggling and you're just looking at your finances, you will lose all the motivation to actually grow and actually pursue and actually commit. But if there's a higher purpose, like a long-term vision, like an actual desire to solve people's problem, then you're actually going to stay with it. And that's where the fun begins. There's so many stories of people who's been turned down, criticized, beat up, but they still keep going. And when you hear that, it sounds nice, but if you don't actually pay attention to why they're growing and keep going, like Michael Jordan, who admits that he shot over 3,000 shitty fucking shots to make the best 1,000, and now he's considered one of the best players in the world, it's not because of what he was able to do in the hours and train super hard to get there, but it's more so of how many times he's failed and actually had the grit to keep going. And those are the sides, what I call the dark side, where we have to focus on the dark side in order to do something well and actually continue. But people are so afraid of the dark side that as soon as they creep up, they stop. They give up because it's just so hard. They think that life should be easier. Then yeah, entrepreneurship is not for you. A job is for you. Building someone else's dream, making someone else rich is for you. Living in that shitty home in that shitty neighborhood and driving a decent car and making maybe $50,000 a year, shopping at Walmart. And I have nothing against the people who shop at Walmart, but if you know you're capable of so much more and you're staying at home saying that, oh, it felt great to be an entrepreneur, but it just wasn't for me. Or I tried super hard to do this, but it just wasn't for me. Then, you know, you have to look at yourself and going like, okay, it's not the fact that it wasn't for me, but it's the fact that I gave up on myself and I was too focused on the money. And when the money didn't come in, I gave up all purpose. I gave up all hope. I gave up all grit. So here's the thing. You need to listen to this. Coming from multi-experiences of fucking up, getting back up to do it all over again and again and again and again, even if you fucking fail again, you just get up. That's what truly gets me motivated. That's what drives me. Having the ability and grit to just get back up again and not accepting the failure, no matter how many times I failed, no matter how many shots I've taken, no matter how many people told me no, and no matter how much money I lose. But just to be able to have that desire to keep having skin in the game, that's what keeps me going. And still to this day, because I could have easily just give up on life and drive myself down the fucking wall and or jump off the bridge. During those moments recently, what really saved me every single morning came down to these three holy questions I asked myself to prevent mediocrity, to not have to seek out a 9-to-5er and not coming home to watch just Netflix and really just live through the movies to make myself feel good. And that's what a lot of people do. They just keep watching movies and really hoping that, you know, maybe there's one day I can taste that lifestyle or be like that. And that's what gives them that sense of accomplishment or that sense of hope or that dose of dopamine. If you are currently going through rock bottom, these three questions are going to truly, truly save you. One, what are three things you're grateful for? Two, what drives you as a human being? And three, if you could have built a billion-dollar company, what would it be and why? And I want to address those questions one by one with you. You know, it's so fucking powerful to actually spend 10 minutes every single morning like I've been doing the past couple of months to figure out three things you're truly grateful for, because it mentally humbles you and takes you beyond yourself spiritually. It allows you to have the necessary room to think and breathe peacefully. It gives you the power to go beyond the bullshit you're dealing with. And when you stop focusing on the problem, you're able to focus on a solution. Most people spend and invest all their energy when dealing with hard situations on just the fucking problems at hand. And when you focus on the fucking problems, well, guess what you're going to get? Fucking problems. So to develop the courage to stop stressing out and being laser focused on just the problems and to really remove that and all that negativity for just a brief moment, and allowing yourself to be just logical and solution-minded, can be extremely difficult, and it takes a huge amount of grit and discipline to get there. But when you do, you know you're on a whole nother level. So why do you think among the billions of people out there in the world, only the top 10% of that pool are truly successful? Think about that for a moment. It's because they do something else that a lot of people don't, which is not to focus on the problems. Yes. It fucking sucks to be in a position where all you can do is think about problems and how to solve them. But if you could just remove yourself from the equation of that problem and really just put yourself in the equation of just the solutions, your creativity, no matter how small it is, will actually allow you to think of ways of how to get yourself out of the position you are. So being able to concentrate on those three things you're truly grateful for, it's almost as if you're exiting your spirit, mind, and body for a brief moment just to get a world of serenity. So every morning I repeat to myself what I'm grateful for. And those three things that I'm grateful for is one, I'm still alive. Two, that I still have time as an individual to actually go forth and really pursue my goals. And three, that I actually have a few people who truly care and love me. I don't have to have a lot of people. I don't need a lot of people. One thing that I live by and one thing that I learned the hard way, because I did have a lot of friends growing up, was that it's far better to have a tighter circle that actually genuinely wants to help you than a bigger circle that really just wants to help themselves. Because honestly, people are selfish beings. There are times when you've been selfish, if you can admit it. There are times when I've been super selfish. There have been times where a lot of people have been selfish. But to have a bigger circle just to fill your own needs, to make yourself happy socially, whatever, to have the dose of dopamine, you'd be way more miserable than just having a few close ones. And I want you to try something on for size. Compare your situation to those in the third world countries who's fighting every single day just for basic necessities, while you right now, and I included, bitching about how you've lost your job, that you had to close down your company, or someone screwed you for money. Just realize whatever your problems are, there's people out there in the world right now who are going through 10 times worse. And it all boils down to stop being a fucking snowflake. So whatever drives you, understand that. Which leads me to the second question. What drives you as a human being will probably be the most difficult question to answer, because it's not a simple 10-minute brainstorming session. This one actually requires some soul searching and real life experiences many times over. Now, I want to say that. I don't mean by age, because age has nothing to do with this. The truth of the matter is that I've been through depression, and when you go through depression, if you try to suicide and you're still holding strong and you're still continuing through life, you have way more knowledge from a life perspective than people who's never gone through that, but they're 10 years older than you. So going back to it is what truly drives you as a human being is what's going to be really super helpful. And if you can't answer this question right away, it's okay. Just go through more shit until you get it. But honestly, when you get that rush of purpose, and it's not about money, Yes, I want a lot of money too. If I don't have any money, how can I be happy? Well, here's the thing, right? Like I said earlier, money will never lead. Money will always follow. Money is going to allow me to have more opportunities and more flexibility with what I do. But if I just focus on the money, I'm not going to get anywhere. And I'll be super greedy, not humble. Because when you put money as that reason for you to do something, you will fall short. Because without integrity and without being truly, truly genuine to helping people, you're not going to get very far in life. And one of my favorite quotes is by a man named Zig Ziglar, who I truly admire. His quote is, if you can help enough other people get what they want, you can get whatever you want out of life. And if I'm not saying it right, I apologize. But it's so true, right? If you want to be a millionaire, solve a million problems. If you want to be a billionaire, solve a billion problems. It's all about helping people. If you help people, they will pay you. And if you truly go out your way to help people, they will stay with you. And a lot of people don't understand that. Just all about the money, 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 money. And then and why do you think the sales industry is so plagued by sleazy salesmen? It's because for generations and years, it's just how much money can I get from someone? So it took me 10 years of my life, 7 of which spent in depression, to understand what drives me. And that is to be able to deliver the financial means and freedom to give those without the right tools and resources necessary to excel in life, but have the potential to do so. You know, one thing that I really, really get excited about is not about if I can buy the penthouse or if I can get the Maserati, if I can get the Ferrari. Like, those things are great. And to be honest, I'm a materialistic guy. I like those nice things and those bling bling. But that's not what excites me and really motivates me to still wake up early in the morning and stay somewhat positive. But that is the thought of being able to search and find the next Steve Jobs or the next Elon Musk or the next Warren Buffett or Oprah Winfrey or whoever it is out there that has the potential to do so, but they can't because they're in a struggling economy. You know, that's what drives me. I want to be able to be the next person because I do want to make an impact in life where I have the financial flexibility and freedom to build a school and give those people who truly deserve that financial resource or help to further their education so they can really pursue their full potential, but they can't because they don't have it. You know, just saying that actually fucking fires me up, and I'm actually feeling a lot better too. So the last question is to get your creative juices going, and most importantly, for you to really define and access your skill sets. So just imagine if you're guaranteed that whatever it is that you decide to do, that you build it to a $1 billion company, but it will come with all the due stress and bullshit in building that company to that next level. What kind of company will you build to happily endure the shit that you must go through day after day? So in order for this to work, you must take this seriously and not fuck around. Like, what I mean is you shouldn't be thinking of something cool or something that you see others doing. Just because someone's built a $1 billion shoe company doesn't mean you should get into it unless you actually love shoes. Or maybe you want to build a $1 billion hedge fund like Warren Buffett. But if you fucking hate numbers and managing money and managing people and managing different companies, but you think it'd be cool to be a CEO of 5, 6, 7 hundreds of companies and be named the second best investor in the world, because you're not going to be named the best investor because Warren Buffett takes that role and all that makes you look cool and it's about the cool, then, you know, fuck you, because you're not going to get anywhere in life. And I say that because there's people out there who just do things for the cool. Like, I know one person who made millions selling off fidget spinners, and it just drives me insane that I'm just like, what the fuck? Like, why do you get in business just to make money? It's a part of it. It's how you keep the bills paid and keep going, but there's no purpose behind that. And that brings me to another point. People hate working hard and people hate working long hours. And everything becomes hard, not because it's truly hard. It's because they're not in love with it, who are not passionate behind what they do. Because if you truly love what you do, then it doesn't matter how many hours you put in. It doesn't feel like work. It just feels like fun. And being an entrepreneur myself and having built some companies and been doing it for years and failed multiple times, I can guarantee you from my personal experience and other people as well, and if you are an entrepreneur listening, you can attest to this, is that it never feels like work if you love what you do, if you truly believe and genuinely stand behind what you do. And that's the thing that a lot of people who decide to become an entrepreneur, they don't understand. So going back to it, if you were to build that $1 billion company, it doesn't have to be anything super complicated. You just have to lead with the passion and need, right? Are you actually solving a problem? Do people actually need this? Like, is it going to be something that is going to benefit someone? Because if you're selling a fidget spinner and you know it's going to make a lot of money and you're only into the fad game, sure, go ahead, do that thing. But I can guarantee you, you're always going to be a piece of shit for the rest of your life. And I don't care who I offend in saying this, but I would not invest my time into something if I don't see a long-term gain or a long-term vision. So here's an example. If you're a hairstylist and the biggest problem you see is horrible cuts, horrible customer service, poor performing coworkers, and you truly love cutting hair, and you know you can do everything so much better and train better motivated staff to provide better cuts, to provide better and deliver better experience, sure. Go build your billion-dollar hair salon, no matter how long it takes, whether it's 10, 15 years, but just understand that those 10, 15 years only matter if you love what you do, because during those hard times, it's what passion and heart is what's going to drive you and allow you to stay emotionally sane during those hard periods where you just want to give up and just literally just stop, okay? I can't remember who said this, but one of the best quotes I've came across is, you can't always be passionate about something, but you can always create passion out of something. And this probably is going to relate to a lot of people. And it was the same thing for me, was I was never really passionate before I got into something. I always found that I got the passion after doing it and through the experience and through the progress. So what I mean is, you don't have to be initially super gung-ho and passionate about something before you get into it, because that appeals to maybe like 10% of the population, but 90% need some real advice. And I don't disagree or agree with speakers preaching about how you should get into something you're passionate about, but I'm merely stating that everyone just immediately and magically do not develop the passion for something before they started. One thing that I do see a lot of people suffer from, and I was guilty of that for one of my ventures, is that people become super emotionally involved and passionate behind something without actually understanding if it's going to be a viable product or a viable solution to people who actually would buy it, or what the potential customers would actually use it for. And after a while, they let the emotions cloud their judgment and they go completely bankrupt. But here's the thing, right? Like, it kind of contradicts each other in a sense where, you know, you want passion to make sure you can go through all the hard times, and passion is what's going to drive you and allow you to stay morally sane and mentally stable. But at the same time, you got to understand your passion doesn't have to be developed right away, right? I didn't develop a passion for sales right away. I was just a chef coming out of 11-hour days of yelling at people and cooking. And then I got into a position where now I have to really sell to people door to door, in person. You know, I just wanted a change. And from that, I developed a passion for helping people. And that's how I got myself into being an entrepreneur. So I'm merely saying that's 100% okay if your loss of passion, that's okay to test something, provided that's actually solving a problem and you can develop a passion from there. You just got to focus on what you actually want to help solve, right? But I'm going to kind of shortly end it off here because it's quite long. One thing I want to touch base on too. When I got into sales, it was the best decision of my life, because here's what no one will ever tell you, your mom, your dad, whoever you surround yourself with, the two most important skills you ever need in life to get anywhere, to get ahead. It's a skill to sell and a skill to lead. To be a great salesperson, and I don't really care if you hate the word salesperson, because at the end of the day, everyone's a salesperson, all right? And you need to be a leader. If you can sell and lead people to do the same, you'd be unstoppable. Many people don't realize that they're selling themselves every single day and they fucking suck at it. You're really born a salesperson, right? In different levels. You sell yourself when you're asking for a promotion, when you're in that interview, when you're on that first date, you got to sell yourself. When you're in front of your peers presenting an idea, when you're pitching to raise capital, when you're talking to your customers, when you're asking your parents to buy you that new car, or when you're asking your friends to lend you money, right? You got to convince them to give you something, and that's selling. So you're selling every single day and you don't acknowledge that. And the people who do acknowledge that and further skills of generally really selling, they're the ones that are successful. So if you've ever been let down and see others get what you felt like you deserve, it's because you can't fucking sell shit or lead a team. You can't even sell a fucking $5 wristband if your life depended on it, because you're super afraid of rejection and hearing a no hurts your feeling because you're a fucking delicate snowflake. But you need to sell if you're going to get far in life. And it doesn't have to be for money, but just sell yourself in life to actually get people to believe in you. I'm telling you from experience, because I was that fucking snowflake. I couldn't take criticism or take rejections. So what would I end up doing? I would lash out at people. It wasn't until I got into really the sales game that I took my life seriously. And because most of the sales job I had was 100% commission, I had to perform or I was not going to pay my bills. I had to toughen the fuck up and not care about my emotions getting hurt every single time or how many doors slam on my face or how many no's I get. And yes, you do get worn out after people keep rejecting you. But if you give in to that rejection or that criticism, you never get very far in life. And one thing I fully live by, and it's super true, is that 9% of people in fucking life will always give up before they're about to become successful. It's just like Winston Churchill has said, success is the ability to bounce from failure to failure without loss of enthusiasm. So for the love of God, if you're going to take anything from this episode, it will be this. If you're going to do something, start any kind of company or whatever it is, you gotta really understand grit and perseverance is everything. The skills that you need will be taught. So there you have it. When you've hit rock fucking bottom, just let me recap. Ask yourself those three questions every single day until you're sick of it. And I pray that you take this seriously and that you've written them down by now, because they will serve as a guiding light to help you get the fuck out of this shithole you're in. So here's a reminder. What are the three things you're grateful for? What drives you as a human being? And be super honest when you answer this. And if you could build a billion-dollar company, what would it be and why? Now, the key here is every day, not every other fucking day, not every fucking Monday or Tuesday, every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, whatever fits in your fucking schedule, no weekends, not every 2 weekends. I mean every fucking day, because if you can't do something as this, it's probably the main reason why you're fucking at rock bottom in the first place, because you have no discipline to routinely stick to something, okay? If you ever came across the phrase or saying, how you do one thing is how you do everything, that is exactly it. So if you decide to actually go ahead with this and actually make it yours, then fucking make it yours. Don't get fucking lazy about it. Okay, because as soon as you start making excuses, or as soon as you start catering to your schedule and say you'll do it tomorrow or the day after, then you'll actually end up not actually doing it. So if you know you can commit to it every single day, then do it. If you can't, forget about it. Stick to your mediocre life, because the truth here is if you ever come across a point in time when you're deciding whether or not you're truly ready for something, you're going to make all the fucking excuses, all the possible way you can think of to procrastinate or hold out on it until the time is perfect. You're going to end up not doing it. And that's a discipline of really sticking to something and really executing on it. Okay. Once again, how you do one thing is how you do everything. Everything will always boil down to perspective and execution. How you look at the situation and what you do to execute on it. I'm going to end this long ass episode with a Japanese proverb. A vision without execution is just hallucination. You're probably familiar with this saying, and there's probably a big fat fucking chance that you're a hallucinator in your current position, in the current moment right now, because you just don't have the grit and the belief to execute on anything or every fucking thing that you've gotten just used to making fucking excuses, okay? So if you're serious about making a difference, about not suffering anymore, about not worrying about how much fucking money you have every month and how people think you're never going to make it, then start fucking executing yourself at a rock bottom, because there ain't nobody in this fucking world that's going to help you get anywhere but yourself. That's it. Be a fucking somebody, otherwise you'd be a fucking nobody executing the success of someone else that actually wants to be a somebody, okay? You're either going to chase your own dreams or you're going to build someone else's dreams. A simple 50-50 multiple choice. Make your move, motherfucker.